want to direct you to Philippians chapter 2, verse 21. Philippians chapter 2, verse 21. We read there, "For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's." It is but a few words, but indeed, what Paul is writing here is that of great reason for startle, great reason for question. What does Paul mean when he says, "For all seek their own and not the things which are Christ Jesus"? And it is a question that would and should be for each one of us today. What do you seek? What are you seeking? Where is your life? Is your, if you had to search, and we commend and we recommend that your heart be searched under this word, not under the word of him who speaks today. For it is not my word, and so the speaker has to search also. But it's the word of Paul, and yet in Paul, the word of Christ. And in that one verse there lies so much. For Paul is making, as it were, an observation. Because maybe you say, "Paul, are you making an accusation? Are you accusing? All seek their own, not the things which are Christ Jesus?" No, Paul is making an observation here for the intent to bring conviction. Because we must also understand why Paul is saying, "For all seek their own." And he means with this that at this time, when Paul was writing this letter to the Philippians, that Paul was in great bonds. It was great struggle for the gospel's sake. Persecution. And Paul witnessed, took notice, that in the time of trouble, in the time of persecution, in the time when things did not go according to what most people had suspected, had thought, for in a time of prosperity, in a time of no persecution, in a time where there is much available, we always recognize and know, we can recognize that here in Malawi as well, that many, many people want to serve the Lord. Many people confess Christ upon the lips. And many people are zealous. A zeal for and a passion for a sort of truth. And Paul here is witnessing. In the time of trouble, in the time of strife, in the time of difficulties, Euphrodius had become sick, and not only had just become sick with a common sickness, there was much fleeing, much that was taken, we could almost say, in today's, and to compare with today, that there was a COVID sickness. Whatever it may have been there, but that COVID was taking place and it was claiming a lot of lives. Not only that, The church was being persecuted, just like the church is being persecuted through the COVID illness. No one can go to church anymore. Everyone needs to be vaccinated. All of these things, because when the devil, when Satan comes, he comes from all sides. There was sickness. Paul says, I hope also to come presently to you as soon as I shall see how it will go with me. Something is also hindering Paul to come and visit Philippians. Paul is in a state here and not only Paul, but the church is in a state here that things have become very difficult. And in all of this, Paul's heart is crying. Paul's heart is sorrowful. See, because Paul sees the Philippians, we read that in the beginning. When we read the chapter, it's so necessary to read everything and to try to retain what you can. But we read that in the beginning. He said in the beginning that his whole desire was that God who worketh to will and to do of his good pleasure. We read it already here. Whatever the pleasure of God is, it is God who worketh in you both to will and to his good pleasure, which we recognize that if it's the pleasure of the Lord, if it's the pleasure of the Lord to bring persecution, if it's the pleasure of the Lord to bring in your life something that you don't want, Paul's saying, it's his good pleasure. Maybe the COVID, don't think so little, don't think so lightly. Yes, Satan uses this on all sides, but it's God for his own good pleasure that allows to happen what happens. You see? And he says, do all things without murmuring and disputings. So he's appealing to the Philippians. He says, do all things without murmuring and disputings. And his heart is heavy. His heart is sorrowful. He sends a letter over to the Philippians and tries to encourage them, to admonish them. And he says, I can't come right now. And the church is tried. We're all tried. I seem to only have Timothy left and Euphrasius left. And a few other ones. All the other ones are gone. Like the disciples when Christ was arrested in the garden. And all the disciples went and fled. And Paul here is in such a state that he sends this letter with such a desire that they continue steadfast. He gives instructions. Don't do it with murmurings and disputings. He wants them to be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. You see? He keeps bringing back in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation because of persecution and whatever they were experiencing then. And then he says, among whom you shine as lights in the world. So there was a few lights. And he says, Philippians, you're the light in the midst of a dark, perverse, crooked world. And where is today's lights? Where are the lights today? Do you know, can we find the lights? The lights, kind of like if we look into the sky at night and it's dark and we see some lights, the stars, we see the stars and we see some twinkling, we see some very dimly, we see some very brightly, we see some bigger ones and smaller ones, but they're all stars. Some are small, some are big, and some are twinkling. And that's what he brings. And then he says, I can't come. I hope it changes, but I want to come. But then he says in verse 19, he says, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus." So he trusted, hoped, prayed, and believed that the Lord Jesus, through all of this situation that they were going through, would come shortly to him, because he knew Jesus Christ was all-powerful and almighty. And then he says, "Because I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state." Paul is not accusing. Paul is arousing. He says, "For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ." And Paul wants to arouse the soul of the Philippians, arouse the soul of those around them. Who are you seeking? And what are you searching for? Because in the time of trial, in the time of difficulty, your searching, your seeking will become manifest. Look what took place with COVID. Churches closed. They shut down. Where was the zeal? What were people searching for at that time? And it continues now. And Paul says here, those whom he had expected, those whom he had seen some sort of zeal in, some passion in, for the gospel's sake, are many of them are coming to the realization that they wouldn't and couldn't continue in the labor for Christ's sake, in their work for Christ. And why not? This is where we want to make the point today. Paul says, with a sorrowful heart, with a heart, as it were, with a broken heart, they seek their own. And seeking self, seeking own, he puts over against the things of Jesus Christ. And he says, it becomes evident that they seek their own and not seeking Jesus Christ. And in this we will see what does it mean to seek our own, and what does it mean to seek those things, seek the things which are Jesus Christ. Because if you and I were to search our heart, and we ask the Holy Spirit to do the searching for us, so that we may be brought into conviction, what are you seeking? Are you seeking your own? Or do you seek the things of Christ? In whatever position you might be in. And this is about Timotheus, about Euphrodius. So, laborers for the kingdom of God. But don't be alarmed if we say this afternoon that mothers are co-laborers for the kingdom of God, that fathers are co-laborers in the kingdom of God, that sisters are co-laborers in the kingdom of God, and brothers, and those who work with each other. Are you a co-laborer in the kingdom of God? So this pertains to each one of us today, young and old, men and women. And what are we seeking? What do you seek? For If it doesn't become evident today, we like to skip over some of these verses. We don't like to be exposed, but Paul is seeing and witnessing that so many are seeking their own honor. It has a form of godliness, but not able nor willing to be in the power of it. Own honor, own glory, own reputation, own status, the best mother, the best father. And as long as things are going well, as long as things are going relatively well, then we're able to uphold it. And it's deceiving to the core, because we can show a form of godliness. We can show as though we have a zeal, but we don't understand, nor do we know the power, a form of godliness and not knowing the power. Paul is saying, it's evident. Oh, Philippians, I send you a letter, and I'm full of sorrow, and it's tormenting me. But at the same time, he's encouraging the few. He's saying, through all of these challenges, all of these difficulties, and he says, I can't come to you right now, but I know Jesus Christ. I trust him, and I shall make it to you. Though I shall suffer persecution, though I'll hunger, though it may be through tears, and I know that I shall come to you, because I desire to encourage you. And I don't want you to be with murmurings and disputings. Oh, Philippians, he says. And he says the same thing to us here today. Oh, children, he says, as it were. Children who know Christ, who have received the gift of grace in them, here and wherever they may be. Oh, children, I hear and I see disputings, and I know where this is coming from. But I desire to be with you, to strengthen you, to in love rebuke you, to bring you back like a mother brings her hens together, so you may not be just, because how can you shine as lights? And he's saying, I want you to shine as lights. But how quickly can a barrel be put over the candlestick? And Paul says, I'm yearning, because I have no one to send to you, nor will anyone come to you, because in coming to you, they will suffer persecution. And they may hunger. They may have no food in coming to you. It was a long traveling, and Paul knew that as he would ask, will you go? Will you go? They were nowhere to be found anymore. As long as there was honor, as long as there was money involved, as long as there was things for self, there were so many willing to go out and preach the gospel. In Acts, we read that Ananias and Sapphira and everyone was joining the church. It was a time of revival until the Holy Spirit began to show them who was zealous, who was there for in the zeal of Christ. Ananias, Sapphira died, other things happened. And then we read so remarkably that no one dared to be part of the church again. And what that means, it doesn't mean as you coming together like we are. It means working for the kingdom of God. No one dared anymore. And today we see the same thing. Droves of people wanting to become pastors and church leaders and all of these things. But also we see droves of people, even in public life, and personal life, wanting to be the father, the mother, the businessman, whatever it may be, status, honor, and money. And no one wanted to take the journey that was so dangerous to the Philippians. And Paul, at this moment, couldn't. We don't know why, but he was in bonds, maybe arrested for speaking the truth. And he says, I will send Timothy. I trust that the Lord will send Timothy. Why? Because I know Timothy is ready to die for the gospel's sake. This is a brother that I know. And if he's ready to die for the gospel's sake, if he's ready to suffer hunger, if he's ready to suffer along the way to get there, suffer in so many different ways, for it was very dangerous, then I know and trust my Savior, my Master, will bring him there through perils. Because Paul knew himself what it took. And Paul says, whether he was shipwrecked, whether he was whipped, whatever it may be, to bring the gospel to the people, he bore it. And what is Paul saying here? Not the things which are Jesus Christ. For all are seeking your own. Oh, what a conviction to me and to you. When we have to search ourselves, what are we seeking? The things above or the things below? The things of self. Are we seeking for status, honor, glory, whatever it may be, if we search our hearts? And then he says, "But and not the things of Jesus Christ." You know what it is to seek the things of Jesus Christ? Seeking means looking, finding, searching that which Jesus Christ is or underwent. And you know what? When we're searching wrongly, when we're not searching with the Spirit, you know what we find? What we think we find? We find a false Christ. And you know what we find in that false Christ by the false teachers and the false preachers today? We find that Christ was an honorable man. And that Christ was a man of status. And everybody wants to try to portray Christ that way. But you know what we find when we seek the things of Jesus Christ? We find a humble Christ. You know what we find when we find Jesus, the true Jesus Christ? We find a Christ that is hungering. Hungering. We say, if I have to seek the things of Christ, do I have to seek to hunger? No, if you find Jesus Christ, you will hunger. For this world, this life is not yours. It is in the hands of Christ. And through hungering, you preach the gospel. You don't have to say a word. Through poverty, Christ, the King, God, man, became the example of total poverty. You try for 40 days to fast and see if you can achieve it. 40 days and then 40 days without food. Why? Because his zeal in his heart was so zealous for his people. He would suffer for his bride 40 days in the wilderness. Did you find that in Christ? When you seek the things of Christ? What are you finding when you seek the things of Christ? And if we find a Christ that is so impoverished all by himself, you find that zeal and that spirit in yourself? And me too? And when you found Christ, if you found Christ, did you find a tempted Christ? A Christ that was so tempted that our temptations here on earth don't even come close to it?
tempted by the devil while he was hungry? Because if we on here on earth had to fast for 40 days or were forced not to eat for 40 days, what happens to us? We break in and we steal. That's our, because we're so hungry. When you found, and if you find Christ, are you seeking after the things of, this is what Paul is saying here. They're seeking their own. And Paul was in his persecution, he was whipped. He was shipwrecked. He didn't own anything. He was a hunger. And Paul said, I find Christ in that. I find Christ in my poverty. I have nothing, I own nothing, and neither did Christ. For my inheritance is heaven bound, and I'm on the way there. My travel is there. But while I'm here below, I find a tempted Christ. And in my temptations, I look to the temptation of Christ, and I'm satisfied. I'm quiet, and I'm ready, and I walk the course. I have a zeal, but I don't own the power of that zeal. My Christ owns the power of that zeal, and I walk every step in the footsteps of my Master. How many people say, I walk the footsteps of my Master, and are haughty, high-minded, a man of God, and have a reputation, have all kinds of letters after their name, all kinds of doctor this, doctor that, and think following the footsteps of Jesus Christ is honor and glory? No. No, following the footsteps of Jesus Christ is following Him into death. Following Him into death for the kingdom's sake. And Paul is not making accusation here. Paul is not saying, I accuse everyone and I'm the only one. No, Paul is full of sorrow and full of lament in his heart. Because he wants to go to the Philippians. He wants to go to the Ephesians. He wants to encourage and he wants to teach. But he finds so few that in the hour of temptation, in the hours of trial, in the hours of COVID, or whatever it may be in your life, because we can't just think of a global sickness. What is taking place in your life right now? Let's ask this question to ourselves, you and me. Ask this question. What has your life been like in the last 7 days? Think about your life in the last 7 days. And your last 7 days will tell you who you are. You don't have to look at your whole life. Just look at the last 7 days. Who have you been? Have you been? Have you had the power? Have you been zealous? And have you known the power of it? Or have you been zealous? Have you and not know and missed the power of the Holy Spirit? Your family? With your family? Your neighbors? Those around you? Those in your home and outside of your home, those in the church, your children, wherever it may be, what have you gone through? What has happened to you? Just in the last 7 days, what have you experienced in heart and in soul, in mind and in your strength? Have you hungered these last 7 days? And have you said, this is unfair? I'm in poverty. I don't have what others have. And a frustration comes out. Maybe an anger, a hatred, or a jealousness, a
Search your heart. In the last 7 days, what calamity has struck you in the last 7 days? What difficulty, what challenge has passed into your life in the last 7 days? And it'll tell you who you are today. It'll tell you if you seek the things of yourself, and me too, or the things of Christ. Are you Christ-like? Or are you seeking to uphold your status, uphold your authority, uphold your reputation? See, for the smallest things in our life will be there for a testimony if we are Christ-like, if we do the things which are Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus, he was tempted and he overcame. Are you tempted? Temptation always comes from our nature. You understand this, I hope. Temptation, it may be anywhere in your life. Temptation to sin, temptation to anger, temptation to frustration, temptation to steal, temptation to whatever, to lust, whatever it may be. And you and me are the author of it, the temptation. Satan comes and incubates it with his power. With his power from hell. Satan comes and incubates that. And when this takes place, when this happens, what then? Who are you? What are you like? Christ-like? For Satan was tempted and was tempted that he may receive the whole world. If he just bowed down once before Satan, and he said, "Get thee hence, Satan." Well, he was a hunger. Do you find Christ in your temptation? When you are tempted to the core, where is Christ? Where is your Christ? Well, we can speak of a Christ with our lips, and we can even show that a sort of godliness. Where is Christ in your life? Search. Seek. Seek yourself. Seek in yourself. Search yourself. What do you seek? What are you seeking for? As a mother, as a father, as a son or a daughter, as a manager, whatever it may be. Because he says in verse 20, "For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state." What does Paul say here? Paul says, "I will send you Timotheus, for I can't find anyone else who has a natural desire, a natural Christ-like ability to deny all for the sake of the kingdom of God." Your children, my children, our children are at stake. Their souls are at the verge of eternity. Tomorrow it can be too late. If our souls, if the souls of our children are still yet unaccounted for in the kingdom of God, this must take place here on earth. Oh, don't be with the rest of the world who says, if we do a little bit of good, automatically we'll go to heaven. It's false and it's a lie and it's from Satan. We must be born again. Christ must be born in our hearts and in the hearts and the souls of our children, one with another, one for each one separately. And he says, Timotheus has a natural, it's natural, it's coming from the Spirit, it's coming from
the flow out of Christ. It's a Christ-centered, natural desire. And otherwise it doesn't exist. Timotheus desires to come. And if he's hungry, and if he must suffer persecution, and if he must suffer for Christ's sake, he is triumphing in faith. Oh, people, all we hear every day again is money problems, money problems, money problems, money problems. Food problems, food problems. Harvest is down. People will suffer in Malawi. Money, money. And at the end of the day, greed, 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 greed. More, 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 more. And have we ever thought for a moment what Christ was like? Did Christ, if we follow the footsteps of Christ, did Christ cry out more, more, more? Did Christ say, when they took his garments, all he had left at the foot of the cross, and shared his garments amongst the soldiers? So all he had left on earth was the garments they ripped off of him so that he was naked upon the cross. And even that, they shared amongst each other. And Christ, the footstep of Christ was a such when he died. What did Christ have? Nothing earthly at all. Nothing. He took nothing with this from this earth to his kingdom. And you and me, do we follow those footsteps? Are we Christ-like? Saying, nothing is mine, all is yours. And I deny all things for thee, O precious Savior, knowing that I have a crown that awaits me. So that I may run the end of the race. Nothing carrying upon me. No burden of this world. No money, no wealth, no pride, no status, no name. So I may trod in the footsteps of you, Christ, my Savior. So that you may say, take everything from me. So you may see upon this world, take my car, take my house, take my fields, take my food, take even my clothes, take my shoes, take everything from me, it has no value. But don't take Christ. Don't take him from me, for he's everything I have, and I trod his footsteps. In humility, I trod his, and in his footsteps, I am whipped. Like Paul, shipwrecked, abandoned, owning nothing, because that's the Christ, that is Christ-like. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ and me and you. Convicting. So convicting. What are we searching for? What do you lack? What do I lack? Do we lack anything? And if we feel we lack anything, did Christ lack it? When Christ told the truth, he was handled roughly, taken to the point of an abyss to be thrown over, and he escaped out of their midst, all the while telling them the truth, convicting them, telling them that not to go on like this, that they are sinners, that they need to be saved, that they need to believe in Him, But they saw nothing in him. What did Isaiah say of Christ? When I saw him, saw no comeliness in him. There was nothing in him that would suggest that he is the glorious Son of God. When he came on earth, he was as a sheep, dumb before his shearers. Have you ever witnessed that? Have you ever seen a sheep dumb before his shearers? And as his shearers take the wool off, and you look at the sheep, have you ever witnessed that? If you haven't, I will tell you, it's about the ugliest, most horrible sight ever. A sheep that is full of wool, full and puffed up, and the wool, beautiful wool on it. And when you take all of that wool off, then the sheep, when you're done, runs around and you can't recognize them anymore. Skinny, and it looks horrible. It looks terrible. As a sheep brought before his shearers is dumb, open not his mouth, stripping him from whatever he had left. Christ not only gave up everything, whatever he may have had as clothes, but do you hear his voice? Do you hear what he says? When he gives up his mother and his brothers, when he hangs on Golgotha and he says to John, "Behold your mother. Mother, behold your son." What do you think a son, in a natural sense, would feel if he must give up his mother like that? But he said, "Son, behold your mother. Mother, behold your son." Why? Because trotting in the footsteps of Christ is caring one for another. And that doesn't mean natural brothers and mothers and sisters, but for the church, for the Philippians. They needed help. They needed encouragement. They needed not food. They didn't need tuition funds. They didn't need land or all of those things that we think we need today. But they needed encouragement. They needed instruction. They were suffering. And Paul knew to have trod the footsteps of Christ was to come in the footsteps of Christ and sit amongst them and teach them, guide them, lead them. And so he does this briefly in a letter and sends the letter. But his heart and soul is sorrowful, not only to the Philippians, but to all the other ones. And he says, as it were, he says, "I long to come there. And since I can't come there, I long to send other brethren there so that you may grow in grace and trod the footsteps of Christ. But I witness," he says, "I witness that they're all seeking themselves. Honor, glory, happiness, money, homes for themselves, and willing to deny the truth of Christ in the time of trouble." And this letter comes to us in the same way. It was not just for the Philippians, but Paul writes this to the Philippians, and the Holy Spirit uses this letter through every generation and is using it today the same way. For Paul, what he writes here is not a mistake. And it's not something that we should quickly skim over, but something that Paul says so that we may search our heart. Whether we be in the faith and whether we have a zeal for Christ in our family, in the church, maybe as a teacher or a pastor, if that is what the Lord has given you, as a sister, as a brother, as a community member, as a chief, as a TA, as a police officer, whatever it may be, whatever the Lord has brought you in, what do you seek after? What are you seeking? Are you seeking the things of Christ? Are you seeking that which glorifies Christ? See, Christ is in heaven, and he sits on the right hand of his Father, and he is in full glory. And people make the grave mistake that if he's in glory, that I should be glorified as well. But no, he says, you are yet on earth, trotting my footsteps on earth. But he says, be patient, Paul says in another place, be patient, stand fast, brethren, in the faith, it shall soon come to an end. Suffer persecution, suffer reproach, suffer the things for your body, yea, even to death, for a crown awaits you. For you shall receive glory, but not here. Here on earth is the humility of Christ, the humbleness of Christ, the sorrow of Christ, yea, the tears of Christ. When Lazarus was in the grave, and Jesus wept, and we weep, we cry here on earth. But he says, cry now, the crying on now, for your crying shall be turned into laughter. You see the meaning of what the scriptures bring out? Your sorrow will be turned into joy. There, where I will take you up, for in my Father's house are many mansions, and there you will see receive the crown. But seek the things of Christ as you carry and as you walk in this wilderness here on earth till your last breath that you breathe out and that I breathe out, suffering persecution for the sake of Christ, willing to be jailed, willing to be hungry, willing to be even sick. Because we see that down here, we see that he says, oh, we rejoice that you were sorrowful that he was sick. Theodore, or Euphrotius, that he was sick. And that you were sorrowful that he was sick. But we know that the sickness, whatever it may be in our body, is only the footsteps of Christ. Treading the footsteps of Christ. For even in sickness, God receives the glory and the honor. And even in sickness, even if sickness is unto death, Christ, are you Christ-like? Oh, we go around today. We seek for pills. We seek for doctors. We seek for witch doctors. What's wrong with me? Psychologically or bodily, it matters not. There's something wrong with me. This doesn't make sense. I'm only 40 and I have this ailment. What's taking place? And we miss that is the footsteps of Christ if we be in the faith. For Paul testified, if this sickness is unto death, he said it was almost unto death. If this sickness is unto death, glory be to God, for then he will receive his crown. But if this sickness is not unto death, then I will continue in the footsteps of Christ, and I will visit you, Philippians, and I will strengthen you, and I will encourage you, and I will teach you, and I will help you. And so it is in our family. And so Paul says, with sorrow and as admonishment, O Philippians, I'm so down, cast down. I'm so sorrowful. First, I had such hope for the many who in the revival or in a time where things were so well came and testified of Christ. And now it's becoming evident that so many seek their own. for all seek their own, not the things which is Jesus Christ. And you and me, God search us and our hearts. For his great name's sake, amen. Amen.